A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, "Are you who are thirsty come to the water? You who have no money, come receive grain and eat? Come without pain and without cost, drink wine and milk. Why spend your money for what is not bread, your wages for what fails to satisfy? Heed me, and you shall eat well. You shall delight in rich fare. Come to me heedfully, listen, that you may have life. I will renew you the everlasting covenant, the benefits assured to David. As I made a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of nations, so shall you among a nation you know not, and nations that knew you not shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the only one of Israel who has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call him while he is near. Let the scoundrel forsake his way and the wicked man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord for mercy, to our God who is generous and forgiving. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my way, says the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. For just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. My word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it." The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God, and everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Who indeed is the victor over the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came through the water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood. The Spirit is the one who testifies, and the Spirit is truth. So there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three all of one accord. If we accept human testimony, the testimony of God is surely greater. Now the testimony of God is this, that he has testified on behalf of his Son. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. This is what John the Baptist proclaimed. "One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." It happened in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. On coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. We heard this in the first reading that was proclaimed. Thus says the Lord, "My word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it." Family. I'm sure, and I know this happens to all of our families, especially if you have more than one child. Which one do the parents favor more? It's an age-old problem that people have talked for ages. We've seen it in the media, if you ever remember the Smother Brothers, with Tom and Dick. And in their comedy routine, Tom would always say to Dick, "Mom always loved you best." Or how about "Everybody Loves Raymond"? It was very easily to see that Marie favored Raymond over Robert. Whoever the person is, it might well be the youngest one. For some reason, the youngest one, parents seem to dote over. Perhaps knowing that this is their last, perhaps might seen it because the older ones are going to pick on them. Whatever the reason it might be, it could be very well the youngest child. How do the rest of us respond to that? Probably we don't care, or probably we hold that little tiny grudge. Why does Mom and Dad like that one more than the others? But today I want you to reflect upon not necessarily favoritism, but rather that we all are equal in the sight of God. We are all His children. We are privileged to call Him our Father, and we are His sons and daughters. God doesn't favor just one. He sees us as all standing as special before Him. And we gain that today in what we hear in our first reading today as we go back once again to the prophet Isaiah for our first reading. This is taken from the last chapter found in the second section. But to give some sort of indication, let's go up to the second Sunday of Advent, in which we had it from the first chapter of this section, where we heard that God was going to look favorably upon the people of Israel who were in exile, to let them know that He had forgiven their sins, He was going to take away their guilt, and that He was going to restore what was lost because of their sin. That section started off by hearing this: "Comfort, give comfort to my people Israel. Their time of punishment is over." And now going to our passage for today, which is taken from the last chapter, we hear what is called the life of grace, being restored in God's good favor once again. We hear, and God gives the vision of a banquet in which people can come and not have to worry about what they eat or drink. The Lord is going to provide for them, and it will be plenty. What a great vision of what it is, what grace is. Grace given, God gives to us, to know that He is with us, He favors us, and He will be with us. What a tremendous banquet will be, our lives fleshed with great grace. But it does also take a price. At the end of the passage we heard, where it says, God says, "I will send out my word to all the people by which they are to live, and I want it to come back to me, filled and ripened." Meaning this, that God calls us to do His will, not our own, but His will. And we heard that in our gospel passage for today, the vision that's given to us when Jesus was baptized in the gospel account of St. Mark. When Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River, when He came out of the water, it said, "We heard this voice," the people who were there, "This is my beloved, I am well pleased with Him." And then the vision of the dove representing the Holy Spirit coming down upon Him to show that God is with him. We should not let this day go by with also thinking of our own baptisms. Granted, probably most, if not all of us, were baptized as infants. We would not know unless we saw pictures of it. But the moment we were baptized into Christ, and we took on this very special relationship with God. God, who loves us equally and will continue to bless us with His grace, knowing especially, too, life is not always going to be pleasing. There will be challenges. And that's why St. John, in his first letter, said, "We are baptized with water, spirit, and with blood," meaning that blood that we will share in the sufferings of Christ. But if we truly do the will of the Father, knowing that He blesses each and every one of us with grace and is not discriminate with it, we will know that if we do the will of the Father now, we hope that the vision of the kingdom of God will become real for us. God is well pleased with us. We're hope that we're pleasing before God. And we're given this opportunity once again to receive the grace that we need, especially through the celebration of the Eucharist, the sanctifying grace, to do the Father's will, knowing that he has called each and every one of us to be his dear children. Let us not disappoint him, but let us have him be well pleased in us, that we are doing his will, and we hope to enjoy the vision of heaven and the life that is to come.